Did you guys pick up one of these? These are called, does anybody know what these are called? Those of you who picked one of these up?
Homework.
No. Well, I suppose. It depends on if you're white, really white, and you don't. So that would be homework. Those are called rebus puzzles. This is from a book from the 1920s. And what's amazing about these is they're incredibly hard. If you look at the first one that's called Rebus Boys, Sam and I have figured that one out. So you figure out their names of boys. What's your guy? Judy, right? Isaac, that would be number one, yeah. Anybody else got one yet? Oh, you got a ball. Yeah, number two, P with an all. Who got Oscar? Oh, you guys are, I'm not this good. We labored over these a long time.
Oscar,
that's the last one. No, I don't think it is. Hold on a second. I got the answers on purpose. You think it's Andy?
No.
No, it's not. Any other guesses?
Bowling.
Bowling? Bowling. No. Oh, it's close. It's close to that, Greg. What, say that again?
Roland.
Roland. All right, there. One more step there on that same, the puzzling bouquet there. There's only two there. We have time. They're flowers.
Jonquil.
Zippa, yes, no, another Zippa. Going once. Going twice.
Pansies.
Pansies! I can't use it for all the ladies, that's right. Now, I shouldn't have given you the other side, because now when things get dull, you're going to be trying to figure the other ones out. I'll put out the book later. The other one I got was Towns in Maine, because I thought that would be nice. And the body ones are pretty funny. Pages and pages of these. And it's what you do at camp with no TV. And they're called Sam's picture puzzles. Sam Boyd's picture puzzles. Originally published in 1924. But what I wanted you to do was to kind of get that sense of looking at things differently. And reading the signs. I want to talk today about how to read signs. And reading the signs of our community, whatever that community is, as a way to build bridges. Talking about building bridges and building bridges between us and those around us, building bridges in our congregation, with our community. So I want you to be thinking about how you can look at things differently. Parents learn how to read children very early, if you are going to survive. I remember learning how to read Ben as a child. You know, when he would start to get really cranky and ugly, it took me a while, but I, caught on. Low blood sugar, feed the child, right? Or I could read how sick he was by whether he would eat gummy worms or not. And if he would not eat gummies, then I knew he was really sick. I mean, we still laugh about that. So you learn the signs. You find a way to read your children and respond to their needs because you care enough about them that you want to figure them out. And my kids were, boys are not that complicated. They're pretty easy to read in that kind of sense. But as a parent, you have to care enough. And I think, all good parents want to be able to figure it out so that they can meet the need. Paying attention. And paying attention to the signs. Paying attention is not always going to work. Sometimes you will pay attention and you will still get it wrong. I understand that. This is not foolproof. Sally was mentioning that I had to thank God for surviving my cards, and I think everybody has known about now because somehow it made it into the Franklin Journal, which I'm not quite sure how that happened. But for those of you who didn't hear, on Tuesday morning I hit a moose on the S-curves at 8 o'clock in the morning, going, I think of it as south, but it's technically east, came around one of those curves and the sun was right in my face and the moose kind of came up out from the river, leaped across the car coming north, which was Sue Carlton, and was in front of my car before. I mean, I didn't even get an adrenaline rush. I didn't even get like a, oh my gosh. I mean, it was just fast. Now, I've lived here for, you know, almost 20 years, so, you know, I guess it's going to happen sooner or later. But it was quite something. And I was very calm, and I called Earl. Police Chief Nichols, I think, hopefully saw, you know, a calm, cool, collected person. But I was like, I didn't have time to even do anything. I thank God for his kindness, and we really thought the car was totaled, but the good news is we found out on Friday that we actually think it's not totaled. Is it gone already? Oh, it is. They towed it to Hilltop in Jay. Most of the people. You're going to have your car done, that's the place. So I thank God for his kindness. So it's not like, sometimes you aren't going to get it right. I understand that. But being able to read the signs is important. And paying attention is important. In that instance, I was paying attention. I actually wasn't even rushing. I had an extra half hour to get to Augusta. So I wasn't even like rushing. It was just one of those things. So it happens. Have you ever given your kids half your attention? Or given somebody half your attention? Your spouse, your friend, your parents, half your attention? I remember things like this. You know, you pretend you were listening, but you're not really listening. You're really doing something else because you've got to get it done. You know, and in my case, like, you know, it's easy to kind of pick on my kids. You know, Mommy, Mommy, can I have some cake? You know, and you're not really paying attention yet or whatever. And, you know, what they really mean is, you know, can I have cake to feed the dog or something? You know, like, you're not really paying attention. My sister makes fun of me. She actually, one of the titles of the book she hasn't written is, Mommy, Can I Have a Knife? Because evidently, and I don't remember this, but she remembers it very clearly. Then coming in at one point to ask if he could have a knife. And I was like, sure, what? You know, they'll say, in my case, you know, Mommy, Mommy, can you come here? Yeah, I'll be there in a minute. And the minute gets to 10 minutes or 15 minutes. And by then, you know, the tub water has flowed over the floor and, you know, covered the bathroom or whatever, you know. We're all guilty of kind of, sort of, paying attention. We're also guilty, let's face it, of filling in the rest of somebody else's facts or sentence. We think we know where the discussion's going, and so we finished it in our heads. And so then we don't really have to give all our attention over here because we can be doing whatever we want to do over here. I just want to say, when we do that, particularly this sense of kind of filling in the rest of something, or what I said with the kids, you know, we think we know somebody, so we've kind of put them in a place, or we've kind of judged the situation so we can put it over here. When we do that, we really miss the opportunity to build bridges between people. And worse yet, without meaning to, we can actually impose what I'm going to call kind of our church culture on other people while ignoring the things that are most important to them. We miss the cues that people are giving us because we think we already know the answer to something or we think we've already kind of figured it out. Years ago, I had approached a CBA parent and I tried to engage them on spiritual things. I thought I was being all kind of, creative and witty. I just scared her to death. And our relationship has never been the same since. I didn't read the signs. I didn't pick up on the cues. I thought, you know, I kind of had my agenda and, you know, I've been paying for it ever since. And it wasn't that I was, you know, I certainly wasn't mean or cruel, but I just didn't read her cues. And And that was very unfortunate. I had a more satisfying encounter on Monday morning, which was really, really sweet. I want to share it with you. Got up Monday morning, dropped that Sam at school, went to the AGC, did my workout, took a shower, came out, and I was chatting with a person in the foyer that I hadn't seen all summer. And it wasn't somebody that I would normally spend a whole lot of time talking to. He's much younger, he rides in different circles, but I actually just started to listen. And certainly at the beginning, it was just practicing Monday morning work appointments. You know, like who wants to leave the gym and go to the office, you know? But very quickly, I said, you know, I need to listen here. And I really stopped and didn't just talk, but really listened. And we got talking. And he somehow started saying that he had taken a semester at art school in Portland, and then he had stopped. And I dared to go the next kind of level in intimacy. I dared to ask him, and I said, why? You know, why did you stop? And he had a number of reasons. You could probably name them, you know, finances and this and that. But what we discovered was that we both had something in common, that we both loved living here, you know, in Caravasset and Kingdom. We both loved living here, even though it meant not having access to the artistic community that we crave. You know, his love for being here was so strong that even though he loved being in Portland, it wasn't, and with the other factors going on, it just wasn't enough. And so I shared with him my, you know, adventures of traveling deranged back and forth now, you know, 2 or 3 times a week so that I could, you know, do the work that I love, so that I could do the singing and the performing arts and things like that. And one thing led to another. We were, you know, people who really wouldn't have had all that much in common were really conversing. And then I shared with him something that a pastor friend of mine has been doing up at her church in a small town outside of Toronto, Canada. And I don't have all the details straight, and I've since emailed her, but it was something like this. This is what I shared with him anyway. I said, you know, once a month, Mary Jo opens the church to anyone who would like to gather for an evening of arts at the church. And she shares like a parable or some kind of jumping off point, and then people disperse throughout the building, and they do their art for a set amount of time. And, you know, it might be watercolor, it could be poetry, or maybe, you know, there she has a much bigger church, so she could be dance, or writing a song, or, you know, working on the book that they're in, whatever it is. And then come back at the end of the evening with an opportunity to share what happened in that time. And in her case, I think they even somehow put it together in a way that's sort of a worship. I don't really know. I'm not quite sure exactly how she pulls it together. I guess that's the art part. Of which I don't really consider myself an artist. But when we started talking, he and I realized, you know, that, you know, there's visual arts, there's performing arts, there's all fine arts, there's all kinds of things. Anyway, he was totally impressed with this concept. He thought this was really cool. And I said, do you think people would come if we did it? He said, yeah. I said, I'd come. And I said, wow, I think God's doing something here. Building a bridge to a community that I'd never made before. Not that I don't have some friends who are artists who are sitting right here. But that sense of reaching out into a community where I haven't really quite dipped in that way. I'll keep you posted. I really think that something's happening there. I really think God's doing something there. I really listened for a change. I think I really heard his cry. And it's been my cry here in this community for a while. So, wow, that's interesting. It's my cry. It's his cry, even though we're doing very different art. Boy, it might become interesting. Wow. God was moving in that conversation. And I had to suspend my expectations of what constitutes religious in order to hear God work. I guess that's the part that was the learning for me. The spiritually thirsty around us are speaking all the time, but are we listening? And how are we responding to what we hear? Got to pull out your puzzle thing again, because there's actually don't get too caught up with the Rebus puzzles. There's actually some text there, and I thought, for those of you who are visual learners like myself, right underneath those Jonquil and Pansy one, there's a little paragraph there. It begins with, "To discern the signs, we would do well to pay closer attention to." It's a big mouthful. To discern the signs of our culture and the people that are around us, we would do well to pay closer attention to the music that people listen to and find meaning in. It's just about listening. To listen to the language people use and what they identify with, even though it may not be your language. It tells us something. To listen to the media that people are paying attention to and the media that they're embracing. Right now, I'm really getting into this Facebook thing, and I have to tell you, I don't need it to have a satisfactory life. I can have a delightful life without it. But that's where people are, and that's what people are embracing, and I need to learn about that. I have been practicing chatting. I've been chatting with my nephew and chatting with Ben. People that, you know, like, because I don't know how to do it. They're like shorter, you know? Like, shorter sentence, like, don't punctuate. Like, I even went so far as to post my Moose Encounter on my page to see what would happen and who responded. And it was amazing who responded. You know, I don't know if I have 100 friends or whatever, I don't know. I don't like the kids who keep track, but I mean, I heard from people that I would never normally have heard from. My friend Sherry Coffey out in Minnesota. And see, that's where people are, what they're paying attention to. So if we want to pay attention, and I think we do, and build bridges in our culture, places like that, where people are, that's where it's important for us to be. Places that, the forefront, places that people frequent that seem to offer sanctuary for them. This mountain is a sanctuary for a lot of people. That's how we end up meeting a lot of people. This is sanctuary. And so how do we, and we have always been directed at being out there where people are. There's also a little chart underneath there on church, what church culture values and what postmodern culture values. And what's interesting is we're not a very churchy church, which is part of what I love. But we do unconsciously pick up on some things. And I just wanted to lift them up. In the old model that I grew up under, and perhaps even you did, this is what church culture values. Believe like us. And then you will behave like us. And then you will belong with us. And it would start with belief. That's how I was trained. That's how I was trained in college. That's how I was trained in seminary. You know, you preach to your neighbors, you learn how to share your faith, you know, you figure out the four spiritual laws, you memorize the four spiritual laws, you keep on your bookshelf several copies of Josh McDowell's Evidence That Demands a Verdict, or other things like that, right? And you're ready. And guess what?
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares. Nobody cares about that anymore. I hardly even care about that anymore. Now, I care about truth, don't get me wrong. But I always slogged through Josh McDowell books. Like, that never spoke to my spirit. But that's how we've unconsciously trained ourselves to think that's how it's done. Contrast that to a recent flyer I picked up when we were dropping Ben off over at Dartmouth College. By the way, he's fine. We talked to him yesterday. He's still calling his parents. This is good. And picked up a flyer by Christian Impact, which is actually a branch of Campus Crusade. And I don't know if everybody's changed their name or the ones just at Dartmouth, but Christian Impact's certainly a whole sight lot better than Christian Crusade. I know they had to wait till Bill Blake passed along to probably change that. Thank you for that. Christian, and this is what it said in the flyer. See what you hear that's different. Christian Impact is made up of Dartmouth students like you who are facing similar questions about who they are and what part they have to play in this life. Some are dedicated followers of Jesus. Some are simply exploring their questions about God. Everyone is welcome. We'd love for you to come along with us. That is what we call what postmodern culture values. This is the new model, which I'm actually a lot more comfortable with, but we kind of adopt this old training. Hear this on that little tracker. Belong among us. And then you might behave in ways that bring you health, and then you might believe that love is real and that love has a name. Jesus. Did you notice the difference? Totally flips it on its head. In the old model, people who join us need to believe like us and behave like us, and then we might, after 30 years or so, depending on how old your church is, let them belong with us. No one ever said it that way, but that's the way the church was built unconsciously to operate. And in the old days, like Peter, Paul, and James, and John, it was a different culture. That is kind of how it worked. But our neighbors want to belong first. If you come here for a day, you are a what? If you come on the mountain to ski for a day, you are a sugar loafer. You only have to come one day, and you belong. That's what our culture wants. That's what our culture needs so desperately, is a sense of belonging. They want to be trusted, valued, and respected for being on their own journey, which is unique and different from what we kind of would call the church culture, or what they perceive as the church culture. And once they feel a sense of belonging, they might go on to these other things. They might. They might go on to a changing of behavior or a changing of belief. But they'll make those adjustments not to fit in, but because they're really changing deep down. And that's what matters. That's exciting. So let us learn to focus and to pay attention to the world in our community, wherever we are, to their concerns and their heartaches, their questions, their worries, their relationships. And believe, and here, listen really closely here, because this is what convicts me. And believe that their search is more important than my agenda or my need to share my faith. And when we truly live this out, God will move in extraordinary ways. Extraordinary. We're going to spend a moment in prayer. And as we're doing throughout this fall, I did give you a little slip of orange paper. If in our time of prayer there is a situation or a name or something that comes to you in prayer that you want to be remembered in prayer, write that down. Put it in our prayer box once a week. We'll pray it over that prayer box, and we'll continue to pray for these requests. No one will ever see these or read these. This is so that you can kind of commit to God and kind of, particularly if you're feeling, heavy about something that you know God wants you to lift up in prayer. Sometimes it's really helpful to write it down, and we'll put it on the box. So feel free to do that while I'm praying, or even once the service finishes. Let's be together in prayer. Lord, amidst all the words and all the music, we do believe that you are talking, but we take a moment in quiet and in stillness to enjoy your peace and to listen for your call. And we ask if there's someone in particular you want us to lift up in prayer, someone who is disconnected from you, or you want us to lift up in prayer, or a situation that you really want to enter into, let us know, Lord, and we'll pray those back to you.
Lord God, you are creator of all things beautiful. And we give you praise. The beauty of nature. The beauty of people. The beauty of virtues like love and hope and forgiveness. Lord, you are the creator of all things beautiful. Help us to see the beauty in those around us. Your image that's stamped there. And in our being available to them. Call that out. Call that forward. And Lord, we invite you to move within us to see things perhaps differently than we have. To not assume that we are always seeing what you see. For Lord, you see things as they already are in the kingdom. You see the sick made whole in whatever wholeness means in your grand design. We pray for those who are struggling with cancer, and Wendy's dad and my dad, and Linda's brother Bob. You see things in the kingdom. You see, all reconciled. God, we pray for Jason and his family as he waits his deployment. And we lift up to you, Barry, as he starts this next part of his journey. That in both situations, you would be glorified, that who you are would be revealed. And God, we thank you for our lives. And while we yet have breath, may we praise you and thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your Son, without whom we would be without hope. We thank you for his sacrifice. We thank you for his joy. We thank you for his wisdom. We thank you for his resurrection from the dead and the hope for all who believe. And we thank you for your Spirit that abides in us, our constant companion in times of joy and trouble. Unify us by your Spirit as we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
We finish our time together with a song of prayer, really, and you can even remain standing.